Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information. And of course, giving you positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narratives. Because you know, when it's 7 o'clock Nigeria time on a Sunday like this, it's time for Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, time for Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. I'm sure he's standing by somewhere in some part of the world. A.G., over to you.
Hey, Choi, good evening to you. Good evening to our listeners all over the world. And for you, the people in this part of the world, good afternoon. Happy Independence Day. I hope everybody had a good time last week. The doctor took a leave of it. But here we are. We're back today to talk more about health-related matters. We're your partners in the Healthy You. We work on this show to ensure that you have the best information to make the best choices for your health. And today we'll be talking about a very important health matter. As the world battles the pandemic, the value of health has been re-echoed with ongoing sensation and campaign to educate citizens of the world on the importance of staying healthy. As you all know, a healthy nation means a wealthy nation. Disturbingly, COVID is not the only health challenges the world battles with. Cardiovascular diseases continue to top the chart. Yes, cardiovascular disease remains the world's number one killer, resulting in about 18.6 million deaths a year. You heard me right. 18.6 million deaths a year worldwide. And we know that a significant proportion, over 520 million people, continue to have heart diseases of various nature. Therefore, heart diseases are very important to us in any part of the globe, Nigeria inclusive. And it is on this ground that the World Health Organization recognizes September 29 every year as the World Heart Day. So today we'll be talking about the heart. The aim is to increase awareness of cardiovascular diseases and ensure that we treat these with the kind of attention it deserves. This year, the call to action is to use heart to connect. The whole idea is urging the world to use the power of digital health to improve awareness, prevention, and management of cardiovascular disease. The logic here is that digital health can help connect every heart everywhere in bringing us one step to achieving a cardiovascularly healthy society. This is very important. We have two very important guests in the house today. They are both cardiologists. They've spent their lives studying this organ of the body, and they'll be sharing their experiences with us today. One of them is Dr. Onye Achilehu, and the other is Dr. Swaraj Dharma. Dr. Achilehu is a cardiologist who currently practices in Abuja with a wealth of experience spanning over 40 years. He treats and rehabilitates patients with cardiovascular diseases. A graduate of Ibadan, I'm envious because I'm from ABU, as you all know, all these Ibadan boys there. He also trained at University of Missouri and is a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. He was a cardiologist in the city of New York, practicing in New York Hospital, and he now works at the Heartland Cardiovascular Consultant, an outfit in Abuja. He holds an academic position as a senior lecturer, Department of Medicine, College of Health Sciences, at the Abia State University. His clinical and research interests span over those areas, technologies such as electrocardiography, cardiovascular intervention of various types, and cardiac devices. He loves to teach, and he does research on the side. Our second guest is Dr. Dharma, a Nigerian trained in Cuba. He specializes in family medicine at the prestigious Calixto Garcia Teaching Hospital in Havana. He pursued further specialization in internal medicine and cardiology at the Institute for Cardiology and Cardiothoracic Surgery, also in Havana. He has published extensively in various medical journals. He's done presentation. He's a well-respected researcher in this regard. He is a story of brain gain in Nigeria. He returned home to practice medicine and to practice in that area that he has devoted his life to. Dr. Dharma is a consultant cardiologist at the prestigious NISA Premier Hospital in Abuja. So these Abujaites, I don't know what they call people from Abuja, but I give you a name today. Welcome to Doctors Round Doctors.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you. Dr. You gave me some heart palpitation there, Dr. Achilehu, because of the problem you were having with connection. So I'll probably send you my bill for the propranolol to reduce my heart rate.
All right.
Welcome. Anyways, welcome to this program. So we're going to start. Usually we have LJ Daddy in the house, and LJ Daddy will present you with his problem this morning, and I hope you can help him before we go to specific questions. LJ Daddy.
Hello, Doctor.
Yes, I'm here.
Please, can you help me? Cardiology is big English for the heart. Is that true? I'm always confused about the heart, and I try to listen when people are talking about it. They say it's good to look after your heart. Look who my friend said his organ has a big heart. But the organ with the big heart, I thought was very good, but they then admitted him to hospital. So it cannot be good. My sister, when her husband left her, he said her heart is bleeding and her heart is very heavy. She's been crying. Some people say they have heartache problems. Some other people say they have heartbreak problem. Me, myself, my heart nearly cut one day when trailer nearly jammed me on expressway. I listen to television, someone, one person say they have heart in their mouth. Another person say they have heart attack. Another person, they are talking
recording
of...
Recording in progress.
Another person talking of heart arrest. I check Google. Google say heart beat like drum, but I don't hear the heart beating like drum. They say you can have pain in the chest. Your leg can be swelling, or you can just die like that, bagger. So please, doctor, help me. How do you look after this heart so that the engine won't knock? They say there's no spare parts. Thank you, Dr. Cardiology. I speak big English today. Thank you, doctor. This is LJ Daddy, Lazizi Jacob. Thank you.
Thank you very much, LJ Daddy. LJ Daddy is a regular guest on this program. And our program is transmitted via Spirit of Nigeria Radio, as you all know, and is also been broadcast live on Life Radio in Ibadan. Doctors, you've heard LJ Daddy. The heart is an organ that everybody refers to in different spheres by different connotations. So, Dr. Achilo, give us the background. What is the heart and what's its function?
Thank you very much, LJ. Like the guy was trying to play some musicals about the heart, I can appreciate that. But let me tell you something about the heart. The heart is the, what we call it, the sublime engine. The sublime engine. Incredibly, that small organ weighs about 15 ounces only, the size of one's clenched fist. It sits quietly inside of your chest and does incredible things. When it calls time, it's all over. Therefore, it's an organ that requires the most amount of respect. It pumps 1 billion gallons of fluid throughout one's lifetime, about 94 cc's of fluid every day as we reach adulthood. Its actions can be quiet, but it can also be intimidating. Overall, it supplies us all the nutrients that keeps us going. Sometimes people like algorithms, the guy the previous speaker was referring to, somebody says, my heart is broken. In ancient times, it's been described in various ways, but the bottom line is this tiny organ in our chest can do incredible things. Without it, there's no life. So it's something you have to respect and respect very dearly. Even though it does this wonderful job, it can terminate at any time, even when you are in your mother's womb, when you are born, when you are in the crib, when you are out there doing exercise, or when you are in your sleep, it can stop. And that's the end of it. So while you live, it's very important that you do all that is necessary to keep it going, because there is no life without your heart. That's the summary of it.
Thank you very much. That's a great summary. I used to think that the brain, as a brain specialist, I used to think the brain and the heart are always competing together, right? Is it my brain? Is it my heart? And these are the two organs that probably work most of the time from cradle to grave. So they're exposed to a number of diseases. And one wonders what the kind of diseases that may affect the heart. Dr. Dama, what are cardiovascular diseases?
Thank you, Dr. Ahmed. Having known what the heart is, we can now categorically state that cardiovascular diseases are a group of disorders that affect the heart and also the blood vessels. And they include a series of abnormalities, which are as follows. We have the coronary artery disease, which is also known as ischemic heart disease. That's what leads to what we all know as heart attack. We also have the cerebrovascular diseases, commonly known as stroke. We have the valvular heart diseases, terms often referred to as maybe a leakage in the heart or a blockage. We have the peripheral artery disease that has to do most times with the upper and the lower limbs. We also have what we call the congenital heart disease, which is present most times at birth, manifests itself at birth, or also manifests itself at a later date after birth. We have a group of diseases also that are also termed as cardiomyopathies. There are three groups of cardiomyopathies. We have the dilated. When you say the heart is swollen, you are referring to a dilated cardiomyopathy. We have the hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. When you say the heart is enlarged, sometimes you refer to that as well. And we also have the restrictive cardiomyopathy. The aortic diseases as well are part of cardiovascular disease, and they manifest themselves as such. And lastly, we have what we call the arrhythmias that has to do with abnormal beating, abnormal heartbeat. So having known all this, why is this, or why is this group of cardiovascular disease a problem for us globally? According to data by World Health Organization, the leading cause of death globally are cardiovascular diseases. As we rightly stated initially, about 18.6 million deaths yearly, annually, to say, are related to cardiovascular disease. That is to say that 32% of all global deaths are because of cardiovascular disease. Now, of these deaths, 85% is related to death by heart attack and also by stroke. We can also say statistically that more than 3/3 of deaths take place in low-income countries. Premature deaths, that's deaths we often refer to as deaths that occur from the ages of less than 70 years. 38% of those deaths are caused by cardiovascular diseases. Now also, we have to take into consideration the financial implications and the burdens that cardiovascular diseases have on health systems. It is estimated that annually, billions of dollars are spent in order to manage or to treat cardiovascular diseases.
Wow.
So it's quite, you know, proper for us to analyze all these things and know how we can tackle this global pandemic.
I'm sure you convinced me and other listeners that you have a busy practice. With all the statistics, you must be very busy. Dr. Achilo, what are the common heart diseases in Nigeria? Are there, we've had so many types. Are there peculiar ones to Nigeria?
In the past, people used to think so. But I think every region of the world is subject to the same type of heart disease. There is no real difference because human beings are the same. If you look at the gene of everyone, there's a high degree of concordance in all of us. So one disease that affects somebody in some part of the world, yeah, it also does the same in another part of the world. However, there has been overemphasis about certain diseases in the third world, so-called third world, and Nigeria in particular. Now, for example, diseases caused by hypertension, poorly controlled hypertension, can affect the heart and blood vessels, like the gentleman was speaking about. That can also be a risk factor for stroke. So hypertensive heart disease is very common. And unlike what people have been told in the past, a good number of Nigerians are dying of heart attack. a good number of Nigerians. My practice is basically concentrated on people who suffer heart attacks, and I have to go in and open their arteries in one form or the other. And I can tell you that a lot of people are dying of heart attack because the risk factors for heart attack are so prevalent, and they include what? Diabetes. Diabetes is an epidemic in Nigeria. Just about every family, like you know, has someone that has diabetes. That translates to heart disease. We in the cardiology community regard diabetes as heart disease equivalent. That's one. Number two, that's a high incidence of what the gentleman was referring to as cardiomyopathies, which you can say in layman's term, weak heart muscle. A good number of people come to see me because they are in heart failure. And that heart failure can be caused by poorly controlled hypertension, but also hypertension can just be an incidental finding in such individuals. And the underlying factor is a weak heart muscle related to their genes. So what we call heritable cardiomyopathies. And I'm also seeing a whole lot of sudden cardiac deaths related to arrhythmic deaths, deaths related to electrical abnormalities in the heart, what we call ventricular fibrillation, which is typically the terminal arrhythmia that you see before one dies.
Arrhythmias are
electrical disturbances. They come in various ways. They can come from an upper part of the heart or from the lower part of the heart. If they come from the lower part of the heart, they affect the ability of the heart to fill with blood. Mm. And they're typically chaotic rhythm. And when they affect the filling of the heart, somebody's heart can stop suddenly. If they come from the upper chamber of the heart, what we call atrial fibrillation, they prevent a uniform flow of blood. So blood clot can form in the upper chamber of the heart and then break loose and go to the brain and cause stroke. Okay? So there are also a lot of congenital heart disease, like he was referring to, diseases that are identified soon after birth, what people commonly refer to as holes in the heart, where there is there's a structural anomaly. They don't have proper position of tissues. So a child is then born with communication, which he or she doesn't need after birth. So he's unable to, some of them, he may not be able to survive, but also some others can have good survival into infancy and adulthood as well. So heart failure is very common. Heart failure is very common, very, very common. I see a whole lot of patients that come in. And what do you mean by heart failure? When your heart is unable to meet the demands that's been placed on it by other organs in the body, that's heart failure. So some people can have heart failure, but not necessarily that their heart function is diminished. So people get this impression, oh, my doctor said my heart is strong. So why are you saying I'm in heart failure?
Right.
That's right. Because the heart is not just an organ that pumps and pumps and pumps. It has to relax in order to get blood, because if you don't have something, you can't give it to someone else, correct? So the heart gets blood in when it's relaxed. So the heart can fail at the phase of relaxation or at the phase where it is pumping. So you can go to your doctor, and your doctor does a echocardiogram and says your heart function is good, but you can still be in heart failure. So it's intuitive. We tell patients, when you have symptoms that are strange to you, something that wasn't there before, please talk to your doctor. You might be in trouble before you know it. Hmm. So, like he was trying to heart attack, by definition, means that a portion of your heart muscle has suffered some damage, typically from occlusion through the arteries that supply that heart muscle. If it is a large territory that's been damaged, then you can be in trouble. You develop heart failure, you develop abnormal rhythms that can lead to sudden cardiac death. But also, there are other situations where the heart is actually hyperfunctioning. Like you were aware of some athletes that died in the field suddenly while doing exercise.
Yeah.
Those are pretty healthy individuals. And their heart is extremely good when in terms of contractility, but they have abnormal thickness of the heart muscle due to certain abnormal genes. So those guys can suffer cardiac arrest while engaging in physical activities.
So I was just wondering, going back to what LJ Daddy started with, are there other symptoms? How can you explain what he was describing, Dr. Dharma? And are there other symptoms or telltale signs of heart disease?
Okay. Just as he mentioned, first of all, before you diagnose any heart disease, you have to identify what we call risk factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
The risk factors can be modifiable and non-modifiable. For example, the modifiable ones are the ones that when you act on, you can be able to, control them and then change the outcome, okay, of some of the patients. For example, hypertension or having high blood pressure is a very important risk factor that leads to most of this cardiovascular disease, as he rightly mentioned. The habit of smoking is also a very important factor independently. On its own, without being in combination, in existence with other risk factors, can also lead to cardiovascular diseases. We also have high cholesterol levels. Having high cholesterol levels in the blood favor what we call, atherosclerosis, which is a thickening of the blood vessels, and hence leads to also most of these conditions. The diabetes or having high blood sugar is also a very important factor, especially in some of the developing countries now. There's an increase in the incidence of diabetes and also the increase in the incidence of cardiovascular diseases. Inactivity is also a factor which is very important. Lack of activity, lack of exercises, leads to a series of physiological activities or changes that can lead, to cardiovascular diseases. And one of the consequences of that is having to be overweight or obesity, which is one of the growing, trends of diseases now. And it's a very important, factor, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. The toxic use of alcohol also is one of the factors that can lead to cardiovascular disease. Just as we talked about the cardiomyopathies, they are specifically, kinds of cardiomyopathies like the alcoholic cardiomyopathy, and also the propensity of having arrhythmias, right? As the abnormal, beating of the rhythm of the heart.
Yeah.
And psychosocial issues are also issues that, are very, very common and important, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. And sometimes they have to do with, low-income countries, just as we said, and also have to do with economy. Now, the non-modifiable factors are the ones that, are the ones that cannot be modified, just as it says. We have age. Age is, an important factor that cannot be modified. But data has shown that, the ages of 60 and above, people with, under such a group of ages have more propensity to have cardiovascular disease. Then sex or gender, as we can also refer to it. Generally, at some point, the male gender had more of, propensity, but, also now, due to lifestyle and some other things, we also see women. Also owing to the fact that the female gender has some certain level of protection naturally given to them by certain hormones. But, at some certain age, when these hormones tend to reduce in their system, we tend to see the appearance of cardiovascular disease, and even at a par or even more than the male gender. Another factor is the family history. The family history is very important. There are certain conditions that are highly related or genetically related, to the family, in the sense that, if there is a history of previous occurrence of some cardiovascular events in some families, in some certain patients, we tend to try to study these patients in order to identify same traces and then act on them. And finally, we have the race. Statistically, we know that most cardiovascular diseases, especially hypertension, it's mainly common in, you know, in people of Southern Asian origin, African origin, and also the Caribbean origin. So this group of people have more propensity of having cardiovascular diseases.
Very, very, that's a very extensive list. Hearing you talking about diabetes, alcohol use, smoking, hypertension, and living in Nigeria where national security is a problem, and that increases your anxiety. As we go on break, I'd like you to hold that on. By the time we come back, we'll be looking at how to mitigate all this factor and how to treat individuals who may have this cardiovascular disease. I hope you will change my view, because I'm panicking right here and my heart is fluttering. We'll get back to you, to those questions after the break.
All right, still live. Spirit of Nigeria Radio going on break now on Doctor's Round. And this one is for all Nigerians in diaspora. No place like home. Taking you way back down memory lane. Evi Edna Ogoli. A special dedication to Nigerian doctors in diaspora. Make sure you come back home wherever you may be. Over to you, AG.
We've got great examples here. We've got great examples. Some guy after 15 years in Cuba decided to go home. Another guy after several years in New York City decided to go back home. These guys are telling me come back home. However, 60 and cardiac diseases, how do we manage that? Very interesting. You're welcome back to Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and live radio in Oyo State. Our guests are Dr. Achilehu and Dr. Dama, and they're both cardiologists practicing in Nigeria. They've been talking about the heart, and they've been talking about various diseases. Before we went on break, they told us about the function of the heart, the diseases that can affect the heart. We're going to spend the remaining part here looking at what treatment is available. Listeners, this is your program. Call in. We've had a lot of discussion going on our chat. One of the discussions, somebody's mother, I now agree from what you doctors have said. So just to let you know that what you're telling us on this program is having an impact. Somebody's mother just agreed to go for medical checkup. Haven't heard from you that you may not have symptoms, but your heart may be in jeopardy. Thank you. You've educated at least one person today, and I'm sure there are others who are not participating in this discussion. Listeners, send in your question. We're now going to move to the second phase. Dr. Achilo, what are the available treatments for heart diseases in Nigeria?
There has been a steady progress in the availability of treatment modalities in Nigeria. Because from the time I returned from the United States, and now there has been an exponential increase in the number of diasporans who have returned to complement the local folks here. So now in Nigeria, unlike what people don't know, we are able to do open heart surgeries in Nigeria. We're open to replace the disease valves. We can deploy various devices that can treat heart failure and prolong their life. All those kind of complicated procedures that some years ago seemed like what you find in the movies are being done and done with great success in Nigeria. We put stents in blocked arteries, we put pacemakers, we put defibrillators, we revascularize blocked arteries anywhere in the body. Mm. And then so it's quite impressive. I'm talking from a cardiovascular standpoint. I'm a trained cardiovascular interventionist, and I do just about any procedure that I did in the United States here in Nigeria. And I get clients from the West African region and all parts of Nigeria. So we want to see how we can expand the pool of trained physicians.
Right.
To be able to do this, not just me and a couple of other guys. That's the goal we want to achieve.
Thank you very much. That's very interesting. So most of this treatment that people fly to India to go and receive, they go to United Kingdom, paying a lot of money to come to Canada, United States. These treatments are available in Nigeria. You guys are offering it, and you can offer it safely in an environment where you have access to your family support rather than staying somewhere that you're spending unnecessary extra expenses, right? That is very interesting. Dr. Dama, what is the current situation of cardiovascular disease in Africa? Dr. Achilo, who was talking about sub-Saharan Africa and the treatment. So what's the current situation? And if you can make some references to Nigeria's situation, that would be helpful.
Now, the current situation we find ourselves in now in sub-Saharan Africa is that we all know that the infectious diseases or the communicable diseases are the major causes of, or the major health concerns in sub-Saharan Africa. But over the past 20 years, we've been seeing an epidemic shift that's from these communicable diseases to the non-communicable diseases, that is chronic diseases, such as the coronary vascular disease. Now, this shift mainly is attributed to the prevalence of most of these conditions like hypertension, diabetes, and then overweight or obesity. Also, the trend of urbanization in these countries, most of these sub-Saharan countries, has shown an increase in the changes that's in lifestyle, which, some of these countries tend to adopt, the lifestyle of the more developed countries. There's this study that was done mainly in Nigeria, Ghana, Egypt, South Africa, Tanzania, and then Sudan. Sorry, not including Egypt. It showed that the significant trend of growth of cardiovascular disease in sub-Saharan Africa. Initially, I spoke about the financial implications. This is something we cannot overlook because most of these patients that come down with some of these diseases are in their productive years. So when they are affected, the workforce of these countries is mainly affected because of the number of people that are, you know, classified as disabled, okay, that are not able to meet up with, you know, the workforce of their countries.
Yeah.
The tendency of cardiovascular diseases also occurs in younger ages. That is 2 decades earlier than before. We've seen ischemic heart diseases in people younger than the certain ages that we used to see before in sub-Saharan Africa. So it's a big concern as well. And lastly, cardiovascular diseases account for about 2.6 million deaths in sub-Saharan Africa. That is 35% of all deaths. So it bears, you know, a double burden combined with the communicable diseases or the infectious diseases. And all these factors really show the situation of cardiovascular disease in Africa and the urgent need for intervention.
So basically, we're catching up. I remember when I was in medical school, we talked about more communicable diseases, right? But we're catching up. That's what you're bringing to our attention today, and we need to do something about this. And I was wondering, as you were talking there, whether or not there are prognostic factors what the prognostic factors, at least protective factors, that may exist in Africans, particularly Nigerians, are, and what the obstacle to improving healthcare outcome. Dr. Achilo, what do you think?
I have a wide experience in the broad spectrum of disease patterns in Nigeria, critical care medicine and all that. But I find some trend that is troubling, and that is, number one, you and I know that the best way to cure a disease is to prevent it from happening in the first place.
You bet.
I see a trend whereby, number one, there's a shift from what used to happen when you and I were growing up. That is, our parents used to tell us to go out there and play. We'll go to the stream to fetch water, firewood, and all that, trek long distances to go to school. And those things had great health benefits. In all our neighborhoods, we had fields to play around. So you find the kind of choking system that is seen in Nigeria all over the place now. And kids are getting bigger and bigger and bigger because they no longer do even simple household chores. The best way to know a Nigerian big man or big woman is how many herbs he has in his house or her house. And the kids are giving all kinds of things to drink, Coke and ice creams and all of that. The average family now outsources their meal to the eating houses and chips and chicken and all that. There's also an increasing use of tobacco products in this country, particularly by the children of the elite. There's a high level of illicit drug use in this country. And you and I know what this can do to the cardiovascular system. There's a high use of cocaine and related products in this country. And young kids, like he was mentioning, come to the emergency room with a blood clot or heart attack or stroke. And that's related to drug use. So there's a lot of behavioral issues, a lot of things that we call HIP that needs to be addressed. Number two, talking about what can change. You know, there's something I coined while writing a paper last year. Dying abroad, he says, has become a status symbol for Nigerians. In other words, even when something is available in this country, particularly amongst the elite, they have to go somewhere else to get it. And in most circumstances, die there, their corpses are brought home. That's how you know a big man. And I always ask, if you're able to fly out to some distant land to get here, okay, how about your mother, your father, your relatives? And you know that if you truly have an emergency, true emergency, you might not make it to the airport, even if you have a private jet.
Yeah.
So there has to be a shift in policy. There has to be a shift in the way we look at things and look at life generally. You understand? So those are the issues that concern me. And also, when it comes to we the caregivers also have a role to play, because I see that most caregivers practice medicine in silos. There is no cooperation. Everybody does is something. There is no standardization. Methodologies are poorly defined. So, and now I can see why, when I was a kid growing up, why people who had gone overseas to train were not willing to share their knowledge. But I think we should change from that mindset, because I think we can develop relationship with our friends in the diaspora, whether they be in the UK or United States, Canada, Australia, and whatever, so that we can see if we can expand. There's something missing in that link. Majority of people, you have to be brilliant to go to medical school anyway, but it's much more than being brilliant. It's much more by getting a certificate. It's much more by passing an exam and answering a consultant. The missing link is training. Somebody that hasn't seen a procedure being done, it doesn't matter whether you have distinction, you don't know how to do it unless somebody teaches you. So those are the aspects.
You give a very broad answer, you know. You gave a very broad answer, starting from prevention, yeah, exercise, and all the rest of them. And it brings back a lot of memory. For instance, I remember when I was in primary school in Kano, you went to my primary school, there was a big football field. Now, I went back to Kano, and when I got there, the whole field has been divided, and it's not. They have big buildings. So we have big buildings with swimming pool and all the rest of them, but we don't even do any exercise. And our children spend time watching video and playing PlayStation. I mean, it is. I got that on prevention. And you also talk about collaboration in terms of training. That raises a very important question. Are there mandatory training, for instance, for the immediate responses? I mean, we've heard of people dying suddenly, you know, something like CPR. Is this something that is taught to non-physicians, nurses, URI certificate? What is the situation back home? Who will answer
that? I can answer that. Yeah. I've done a couple of seminars, even on national TV, to demonstrate layman resuscitative methods. But it's humbling to know that even among the physician population, that the awareness of cardiopulmonary resuscitation is so low. So low. You go to stadium, you go to seminar places, you go to schools, there is no AEDs available. You go to the airport, a few of them that have the business in the store gathering dust. I ask, what does it take for somebody to be trained? Because this is what you find, lay resuscitative efforts are something that you train anyone, anywhere in the developed world. I mean, somebody cannot have a clinic that doesn't have an AED, for goodness sake, because using that small piece of equipment can save somebody's life. Or somebody playing soccer in the field, who have had people who have died suddenly from arrhythmic death that could have been saved by just application of AED. So that is the aspect that is missing. There is no uniform training protocol that can mandate a physician or other ancillary personnel in the healthcare sector to make sure that they are properly trained and these things made available in their places of work.
I hear what you're saying, because it was so shocking. There was an episode that was watched all over the world. Somebody testifying before the Senate committee, having what, in my opinion, might be a heart-related condition, and his mouth is being squeezed. I can imagine that was the same situation with my grandparents, putting spoon in the mouth of somebody who is having seizure. It's ridiculous, and we can't touch on all this point. But I wonder, that was the question I asked myself. Was there a CPR?
Or fanning instead of giving CPR.
You got it. Do we have people training in our National Assembly to even help that person? This is something that we need to be asking ourselves. And that leads to my next question here. And I don't know if you can take this. What is the government role in, you know, sort of, what is the government role in this? Does the government have a role to ensure that we have a policy in place and make sure we adhere to it? Dr. Rama, do you want to try your hand on that?
Put your finger on the trigger. Government has a role. You and I have a role. Everyone has a role. Number one, the government has to develop. You and I have practiced medicine in the developed world, and the role of government, in my opinion, will be sincerity of purpose in terms of policy pronouncements, making sure that certain things are in place. You see, health is not necessarily high-tech health. Health starts with good drinking water, good environment, proper hygiene, safety of people, you know. So that's when health starts, and then what you and I eat, consume. So, but the government has a role to make sure that there are certain things that are available that will make the work of a healthcare provider more easy. The place has to be safe. There has to be electricity. There has to be running water. If you are treating someone in a dirty environment, you know you'll be wasting your time. Okay? So the government also has to be sincere. It's not enough to say, oh, we have built this hospital, we have equipped this hospital, but you know that practicing medicine is more than buying equipment. Somebody has to know how to use this equipment. Somebody has to have a way to maintain this equipment. And somebody has to have periodic training on the use of this equipment. So that's number one. On the part of physicians and allied personnel, we have to be a little more generous, to share what you and I know. Knowledge has no frontiers. So what you know, someone else, you know it. After all, someone taught us these things. We should also be able to teach others what you know. Because the more people that can save lives, the better for the entire nation and beyond. So there are obstacles along the way, sincerity of purpose, corruption in the system. You know somebody's not qualified for a job. Put him in, come on. We're talking about health here now. We're talking about somebody's life. You put somebody in position of authority when you know that person doesn't have the proper training. That's a disaster.
I hear you. And you see, on this program, we always have this constraint. It's called time. And I don't want us to finish this session without talking about the role of digital health in the care of cardiovascular diseases in Nigeria. Over the next couple of minutes, Dr. Dama, what would be the role, in your opinion, of digital health in delivering care in Nigeria?
So what is digital health? Digital health is just the intersection between healthcare and technology, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we apply technology to improve healthcare. So the role that it plays in our society right now is that it has the potential to prevent diseases and to lower healthcare costs. You know, instead of patients going to see the doctor, they can use every means of technology available. For example, we have the phones, the chats, you know, and then the video calls as well. And also implementing what we call the medical record systems. So it helps patients in such ways to monitor and to manage their chronic conditions. Also, it can tailor medicine for individual patients. Thus, with this digital health, you tend to individualize your patients. You tend to know which one of them, their conditions individually and then how to tackle their conditions. It also has a benefit in the healthcare providers in the detachment of their obligations. That's, we the doctors and also the HMOs, on how to carry out their duties and then see how they can, tackle the conditions of health of their patients and how to improve such conditions as well. It can also serve as a means for recollection of data for either research purposes and epidemiologic purposes. Hence, I would say that, it will be very important for us since most of these developed countries have adopted this digital healthcare. We as well in sub-Saharan Africa should try as much as possible to adopt that.
Especially if you have Nigerian medical diaspora. You have cardiologists outside, and Dr. Achilo, who was talking about collaboration. I think it's about time we start talking about collaboration. The world is a village. I'm about 10,000 kilometers away from you guys. And look at us today. We're collaborating. We can make this accessible to people. And with all these things that you've said, if we work collaboratively, I think we can move closer to giving Nigerians a better heart. On that note, the doctor has to end his run today. Time is always short. But I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen for coming on the program. We really appreciate your time. And on behalf of our listeners, I would like to thank Spirit of Nigerian Radio, Life Radio in Ibadan, and all the individuals who have made today's program possible. My name is A.G. Ahmed, and I'll be back with you next week. Have a great week ahead. Bye.
And that was Doctor's Rant for today's episode, and of course interesting subject there on cardiovascular issues. Coming up next on Spirit of Nigeria Radio is Diaspora Cup with Officer Basi Asage.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.